In a lengthy press conference today from Orlando, FBI officials said they will not be releasing the audio of the Pulse nightclub shooter's 911 calls out of respect for his victims and their families. They did, however, release some partial transcripts.
Yeah, maybe too raw, and maybe we're all spared hearing that audio, at least for now. So we're following news from Orlando and from the campaign trail. Corey Lewandowski, he of the alleged bruise-inducing grip, is out as Donald Trump's campaign manager. You might remember when reporter Michelle Fields, then with Breitbart, said Lewandowski grabbed her when she tried to interview Donald Trump. So now Corey is gone. Hillary Clinton added Barack Obama's top financial advisor to her team. And the Senate considers four gun safety bills that are also cloaked in politics. Let's check in on a Monday with Domenico Montanaro, NPR's lead politics editor. He joins us now from Washington. And Domenico, start with Corey Lewandowski fired.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Lewandowski is out at the campaign. Sarah McCammon here who's out on the trail for us and following the Trump campaign, has confirmed those details. And there's lots of backbiting and infighting within the campaign. It was framed, Sarah says, as a battle with Paul Manafort, who is running the D.C. side of things and was elevated above Lewandowski, and that they've had a tense relationship for months. Trump is actually holding a conference call with his inner circle of advisors and staff, and there's potentially a role that Donald Trump's daughter has played in this as well, where she has been a pretty strong advocate of her father and decided at this point that it was time for Lewandowski to go, and was able to finally convince her father to do just that.
Right. Well, and I wonder, Domenico, how much it has to do with the past week. Donald Trump's first response, his critics say, to the Orlando shootings was to congratulate himself on predicting that there would be violence. He doubled down last week on banning Muslims from this country, widened it to banning immigrants from areas that might have terrorists. Is there a sense that it was a bad week and he needed to make a change?
Well, it's not just a bad week. It's been a bad month for Donald Trump. This has been a terrible June for Donald Trump. You've seen some of that unity that Republicans seem to have completely evaporate and fall apart. You've had leaders in Congress on the Republican side say that they no longer can support Donald Trump or that he's at an inflection point. It all kind of started with the veterans fundraiser that he had held some months ago, and the Washington Post reporting that Trump had not given the $1 million that he'd said he had. He had to hold that press conference on it to refute those facts. Then we wound up with the Trump University fraud lawsuit, where the documents were unveiled and revealed that showed these tough sales tactics that Trump University had used, and that the judge in that case, presiding over that case, you had Donald Trump saying that the person was biased because of their Mexican heritage. Mm-hmm. And you've seen all of that take a huge toll on Trump's poll numbers. He's down an average of 6 points to Hillary Clinton, below 40% in the past month. He's not spending any money on advertising, which is really remarkable.
None.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Zero at this point. Hillary Clinton is up with $23.5 million in ads in eight key swing states. Trump and allies, nobody spending anything to support Trump. A huge switch from 2012, when Barack Obama and allies had a narrow advantage over Mitt Romney. They were already, both sides, spending more than $80 million. At this point, Donald Trump up with nothing. And, you know, one poll number I would point to is really fascinating to me. CBS New York Times had this poll out where they said 41% of people actually thought Hillary Clinton, what she had done with her email server, was illegal. Donald Trump was only getting 37% of all those folks against Hillary Clinton. So he was underperforming what should be his floor. He wasn't even getting all of the people who thought Hillary Clinton's server was illegal.
We'll talk a little bit about guns, because they were so much a part of the campaign last week. And Donald Trump made some comments that people interpreted as his believing that people on the terror watch list maybe shouldn't be able to buy guns. He was going to meet with the NRA. People were thinking maybe he might shift the NRA. Instead, he changed his position. Here he is when he said if people in the club had guns strapped to them when the shooters started shooting, it would have been a good thing.
And one of the people in that room happened to have it and goes boom, boom. You know what? That would have been a beautiful, beautiful sight, folks.
That he's walked that back. Today he tweeted, obviously he was not talking about people in the room, which he sounded like he was. He was talking about additional guards or employees. Is this because an NRA spokesman said, no, no, we don't agree that people should be drinking and carrying firearms.
Yeah, that's, again, the NRA's position on this, where Donald Trump, again, on a conservative issue, doesn't seem to be in line or understanding what the policy is. And I think it comes directly from Wayne LaPierre going out and saying that guns and alcohol don't mix.
Yeah.
So I think that's exactly what you're seeing. And on legislation on the floor, it's very difficult to see what will get passed. But Democrats are certainly more on offense now than we've seen them in past years. But I wouldn't expect huge legislation to wind up getting passed. They are looking at the no-fly list and whether or not you should allow folks with guns or to be able to purchase guns who are on the no-fly list.
Yeah, it may not pass. But as you say, a Democratic filibuster at least forced a vote. NPR lead politics editor Domenico Montanaro, thank you as always.
You're welcome.